a warm welcome to the Platoon Podcast, your weekly unofficial podcast dedicated to all things Peterhead FC. On this week's episode, we look back on Saturday's SPFL Trust Trophy victory at Annan, preview our first meeting with Bonnie Rigg Rose on Saturday, and we have an update on youngster Aaron Smith's loan at Buckenhaven Hearts. Yes, welcome along to this week's episode of the Blue Team Podcast. I am Colin Byers, and with me, as ever, Martin Smith. Martin, welcome along. How are you this week?
Good evening, Colin. I'm not too bad. Thanks, Colin. How are you?
Not too bad. Just as we were just saying before we started recording, just getting the early symptoms of a wee flu or a cold or something like that, which has been lingering within the family. So I don't think this heat wave and then the call weather that we've had today has helped either.
I know it's really going to ruin us. It's even work as well last week and the week before. So I just said it's really unseasonably hot weather, and then at the time we record now, we've got a thunderstorm and a downpour of rain, so hopefully that'll help clear the air a wee bit.
Unfortunately, there's no cough button on a podcast, so if there's a few hosts and barks in a go, that would be one of us dying in the background. Before we one of us completely collapses altogether, obviously we'll come on to the big result on Saturday with Peterhead, but we've got to mention another big result at the weekend, Scotland. Looks as though we're well on our way to the Euros for in Germany, I should say, in 2024. 5 wins now out of 5. Absolutely incredible run that we're on. We're just waiting on Tuesday's result between Norway and Georgia, I think it is. If they draw that game, man, that's us through. It's just incredible how easy it's seemingly has been.
Yeah, I mean, if you follow Scotland and you also follow Aberdeen at the moment as well, you're right, the cost of watching football is going to increase dramatically over the next 12 months, with both Aberdeen being in Europe and then you've got Scotland doing so well as well. Hey, I mean, when Steve Clark first got the job, I thought he was under, no pressure, but I really didn't think he was going to be the man to be able to turn around Scotland's fortune, eating a massive slice of humble pie, because he's done that with Belgium. I think it's been phenomenal. Not only getting the results, but the performances have come along with it as well. As you said, 5 wins out of 5, just really waiting on a draw between Norway and Georgia. Really, if we get a draw in there, we're through. But yeah, you would think it would be an almighty collapse for Scotland. Need to get there now. A lot of things we need to go against us. I think we're pretty much home and hosed. But yeah, fantastic job Steve Clark's done with the Scotland team.
Right, look at the results. 3-0 against Cyprus, 2-0 against Georgia, 2-1 away to Norway, 2-0 against Spain, and then another 3-0 against Cyprus. It's just been absolutely phenomenal, just how easy it seems to have been. And because of the relatively ease in which we seem to be qualifying, we could not only qualify, but we could actually be in pot one when it comes to the draw for the tournament itself.
Yeah, I seen somebody mention it the other day. If we get the right result tomorrow, Scotland will be the first team to qualify out with the host nations. Also, they're there anyway, Germany. So, I mean, I can't remember last time Scotland did that, became the first team to qualify for a tournament. So, yeah, fantastic achievement by Steve Clark and the boys. I think the performance of Scotland, you can sort of tell by everybody rattling around the last couple of years as well. I've always been a club man. I've never really in much following of the national team, but even I've sort of been caught up in the last 18 months jumping on the bandwagon thinking, oh, Scotland's playing, they're doing well. So yeah, credit to them.
And here's Scott McTominay, can't even get a game for a regular game for Man United, and he's banging with 6 goals in 5 games or something. It is for Scotland. So I guess the way Steve Clark is set up beside the way he's managed to get the best performances or get the best of these players has just been nothing short than miraculous.
Yeah, he's a very good manager. He showed that when he was at Kilmarnock as well, when they finished third. It was a few years ago now, but he finished third. Kilmarnock were deserved in the table at that point as well. So I think Steve Clark knows how to manage the best of his squad. Obviously, being the Scotland manager, he's got very limited time with the players as well. And as you said, Scott McTominay is a prime example, a player who maybe doesn't play much for his club, but he's doing fantastic stuff for his international country level, I should say.
And of course, once we do qualify, we will of course go over to Germany and win it handsomely. with the performances in qualifying, it should be fairly straightforward. Must be one of the favourites to win it.
The standard Scotland approach, we get there, we'll win it hands down. Yeah, look, I think they've given us a fantastic opportunity. Should we get there, like I said, it'd be an almighty collapse and things we need to go against us, but we're all there. But I think everybody just enjoy the occasion. You know, it's not often we get to tournaments, came with the last Euros. Fantastic achievement.
Or we'll just do our usual and get there and lose all three games in the group stage and not be it.
Yeah, I think it's a different Scotland squad now. I think when you look at the players, I think there is that more grit and determination in them. They've also got the quality, which is maybe something that we haven't had over, you know, maybe the last 10 years or so. But yeah, it's a fantastic achievement by the boys.
Okay, so hopefully by the time this time next week, we will have qualified and we can start planning for our summer holidays over in Germany. One bit of admin from Peter Head. The football fans in training is about to start, or has started perhaps, is a 13-week programme open to anyone who is age 35 and 65 and has a waist of over 36, which I definitely qualify for. Basically, it is Natty Porter will let you assess, I guess, use football as a way to get you in a dietary kind of manner, talk about food, talk about what you're eating, but also get you going as well in terms of being active as well. I did the course for 2019, I think it was. It was really good. Natty, of course, obviously being Natty, makes it entertaining, makes it fun to do. So it's a 90-minute session over 13 weeks. It's broken up into two halves, i.e. 45 minutes, and that's a football kind of link to it. So the first 45 minutes, you do basically a lot of sort of classroom stuff, talking about, you know, your foods you eat, what you're going to be doing, what you're eating, and then 45 minutes of activities, you know, football basic skills and things like that, and a bit of running as well. So it's a really worthwhile exercise to do. I probably should go back to as a return one to do it again. But no, well worth doing it, and I think it's one of those things where a lot of clubs are getting involved with. So the 13 weeks probably takes you right up till just before Christmas as well. And it's well worth, if you qualify and you want to do it, well worth it, and it's free as well, which is obviously a good thing.
Yeah, anything that's free just is a bonus, and as you said, if you're 13 weeks, you could quite happily tuck into your Christmas dinner, not feeling any effects. But actually, the serious side of it is, you know, it's getting people together, it's maybe speaking about a topic that's, you know, some folk don't want to speak about. Obviously, you know, weight can be a stressful thing these days, and body image, so I think it's brilliant that the club and Natty, and as you said, Natty puts on not a show with it, but he tells a story behind it, and he's able to try and, you know, get the best out of you, and, you know, these things are brilliant that the club are able to do within the community.
I think the last time I did it, it was okay, so the first sort of 10-15 minutes of the first 45 minutes is Natty speaking about the game and the setter, then analysing if it went right and if it went wrong. So there's always that to kind of look forward to. And he's ably assisted by Stephen Chalmers as well, who always is knocking about as well and gets involved. So if you are interested in that, get in touch with the club and via the email address on their links, and they should get you involved. And hopefully that starts soon. Taking us on to the other side of things, we're Pie Watch. We forgot about our Pie Watch last week. Reminded by Graham McLean, who himself is an admirer of the pies. Obviously, I forgot to mention the standard of the pies and the beverage is doing it some rare. That was my fault. To cut a long story short, I didn't get a pie doing it some rare. I got a cheeseburger instead. So it was a cheeseburger watch this week.
But
I paid £5 for a cheeseburger and a tin of Iron Brew. So then I came for the price was of each. I basically just said, can I get a cheeseburger and Iron Brew? The boy went, £5. So it could be £2.50, it could be £2.50 each, it could be £3 for the burger, £2 for the Iron Brew. There was no price less than anything like that. But there was plenty of selection of stuff. Cheeseburgers, burgers, it was hot dogs, different pies and stuff like that. So, but overall, cheeseburger was okay, but I suspect that the buns, those burger buns, had been frozen because they were one of those pre-cut sesame seed buns. So it was a bit, it did feel a bit dry. But I think overall, 6 out of 10. I can't remember what you said about your pie doing at East Fife. Was it 7 or...?
Yeah, I think it was a solid 7.5.
Aye.
I think I'll need to go back. But I'll ask you one question. Were they accepting card as well?
I think it was just cash. I had cash with me, but I didn't see anybody paying.
The only reason I ask that is because obviously Peterhead at the moment are very much just as cash only. And they make a point of putting that out on their socials that the Pie Hut is cash only. And I just think in this modern day and age, you tend to find more and more people want to use card. We do seem to be going, everybody going down the route of card. And it's interesting to see the clubs who have moved and gone to a card payment at the kiosk and those who have just stayed rigid with the cash.
Yeah, I'd actually go to the bank machine and put in my card just in case, because it'd be nothing worse than getting up to it and going, oh, you don't take card, okay, right.
That's a card.
So I just made sure that I had that. So Pie Watch should be back again later on. But if we miss out again, I'm sure Graham will be first to mention it. Right, so let's go on to Saturday's game down at on another long trip down to that neck of the woods. SPFL Trust Trophy. We spoke last week about the two defeats in a row and how this could potentially be a game where, yeah, you want maybe we'd prefer to lose this one and then win in the league the following week against Bonnyrigg. But then, as you mentioned, it could be that will be then three defeats in a row and suddenly you're in a bit of a rut you don't want to be. But very much the opposite of what's been happening in the last two games. Much back to what they used to or were more seeing in terms of attacking play and a more rigid back line instead of the back three, which obviously didn't work. And I think Ryan even said that in his post-match as well. They put their hands up and said it didn't work. So they reverted back to a more normal formation or style of play. And we've ended up winning it pretty handsomely as well. 2-0 could have easily been probably been more. I don't think the home side had much of a say in the action as well. So it's, again, another away win. Just need to convert these into home wins as well. But on the balance of it, there's two things that comes out of this. One is that the managers recognise that they tried something, it didn't work, and then they've reverted back to their normal, and they put their hands up and said, yeah, we made a mistake with that. But also, the performance is still there within the players as well.
Yeah, you've actually taken one of my notes there, that it was good to see that Ryan and Jordan tried something, but obviously, we've said before, this is a learning curve for these guys as well. As co-managers, they've realised it didn't work at Stranraer the week before. They've put their hands up and they've gone back to a more traditional and more familiarised formation with the team and the players that we've got. Delighted that we've gotten through, first and foremost. I think the performance went with the result as well. It's a good performance, a good result. And it stops that rut, three games defeat. Had we lost, would have sort of made the season look worse than maybe what it was. We've got that breaker again. We've got another win. And as you said, it's trying to replicate that sort of performance away from home, but doing it at home.
Yeah, it's four away wins now in five. Not including the League Cup, compared to no wins in the two home games. Yes, we've played more away than we have at home, but it just seems to be that we're much more comfortable away from home and that the performances are better away from home. And as I said, we just want to try and convert that now into the home games as well.
Yeah, whether that's because teams will come up to Balmour and they don't want to open up too much to us and they're quite happy to almost hit us on the break. I thought Spartans did that quite a lot from the Rob, even going back to the game before it, finished Muir at home. They were quite happy to sit in and try and pick us out a wee bit. But we've also got the Mayor on the front foot, I think, as well for the game. So going by, nothing really happening. We've got to be more proactive in the game. And that'll come over time as we play more games at home. The players get used to it. he certainly can't lay any criticism at the pitch for being in poor condition, because it's one of the best pitches outside the Premiership. So, yeah, it's trying to replicate that good away performances, but also doing them at Balmoral.
If five changes was made, Jordan Armstrong, Kieran Shanks, Jordan Brown, Joe McKee and Conor O'Keefe all come in. Caleb Goldie, Jack Brown, Hamish Ritchie, Scott Ross and Robert Ward all dropped out. And it was interesting that this was one of these rare games where both Ryan and Jordan both started. But it was all interesting as well that the team lineup was very similar to the lineup that played against Aberdeen B, in terms of like Armstrong started, Joe McKee started, and you know Ritchie was on the bench, Ward was on the bench, etc. So I don't know if they were some of the changes were reflected on the performance from the week before, or these are maybe changes that they maybe had planned already, given that it was a cup game.
I think both. You know, we mentioned against Spartans that, you know, Robert Ward was quite on form. I thought the home game against Spartans, Hamish Ritchie was particularly poor, considering the high standards that he's set. So again, no surprise to see them drop down. I was more surprised that Ryan and Jordan both started in the game. We all know from the Q&A that they don't like doing it. They do try and leave one on the sideline. But when you've got both that can show leadership qualities on the pitch, obviously you've got Jason Brown there as well as the captain, I thought it was good. It's an important game. You want to try and stop the rot. I thought it was good to see all three playing. And obviously we were a massive fan of seeing Joe McKee against Aberdeen B, in the last round. So, yeah, I think the players that come in, I wouldn't say they had a point to prove, but they're certainly saying the managers, look, I can do a job, get me in the starting 11. And the players who did drop out, i.e. your Hamish Ritchie and your Robert Wards, they've now got to get that bit between their teeth this week in training and go, right, no, I need to show that I can get back in the starting 11. I don't want to be sitting on the bench again. So, yeah, I think there's quality throughout the squad and you're just trying to get the balance right on the pitch.
And the exciting thing, when you look at the team sheet, you saw both Rory McAllister's name and Kieran Shanks' name on the team lineup, and you think to yourself, "Well, this could be interesting to see how they line up here." And you know, it's a partnership. I think if they continue playing with it, both home and away, could certainly be one that's it'll be vital as the season goes on.
Oh, absolutely! I think you've got the experience of Rory McAllister, and obviously the age he's at now, you didn't expect him to go running behind defence. But, you know, he's got that brain. He knows where the goal is. He's got a footballing brain, and that allows Kieran to do what he's good at. He runs in behind defence, he takes defenders with him. And I think the partnership of the two of them, you strike a couple more weeks going by in the season, and I think it'll be a really good partnership, and one that they can both benefit from as well.
Yeah, because I think Kieran obviously did a lot of running, and we've said before in the sort of 20-odd games he's now played for us, he does a lot of running, but sometimes didn't get the help or wasn't getting enough people forward to support him. Whereas I think this time, if the ball's going up to Rory, for example, he'll be there. He doesn't need to be doing so much of the donkey work, if you like, and maybe when I need to be, maybe when I see him feeling it, you know, towards the 75th minute, 80th minute of a game.
Yeah, and you know, you didn't expect, I wouldn't expect Rory to play 90 minutes every week. So this is where you've also got Aaron Reid on the bench as well. You do, he likes Robert Ward as well. So I think now that you've got that, this isn't a slanting Kieran Shanks by any stretch of the imagination, but you've got that experienced focal figure up top, a man who cares where the goal is. He cares when they're running behind and when to stretch defence. Very intelligent player, Rory. Cares exactly where the goal is. And when you've got these younger guys running about you, they can pick out a cross or they can pick out a nice pass. Rory's got to be exactly where he is, waiting inside the box, ready to tap it in. And yeah, I think the combination of the two will work really well as the season goes on.
And as I said earlier, it was one of those performances we're back to were normal. You know, dominated the possession, created the most chances, and it was a team. Although we were playing a team at a league above us, it didn't look as though, if you looked at that performance, you would sort of recognise which one was League One side and which one was League Two side.
Yeah, and also we've gone away from home as well to a League One side. Obviously, they've now had the best of starts in the division. But, you know, you still got to go there. As we mentioned before, it's a long trip down. And they've put in a very good performance. There was the changes within the squad. But, you know, it's one that's paid off.
Andy McCarthy back in, amongst the goals again in the SPFL Trust, getting his second goal of the season. And as we mentioned a couple of weeks ago, you know, he's starting to chip in with goals now as well. He's adding that to his game. And I think he mentioned it as well in the post-match that he wants to add more goals to the game. He wants to be that more box-to-box rather than just being that sit-and-holding player that we've got sort of come used to seeing. I just wonder, again, we talk about Joe McKee starting, if his inclusion means that he's got, Andy has got that freedom to go forward when he likes.
I would think so. I don't think you would need Joe McKee and Andy McCarthy sitting. I think you've certainly got to get one of them further forward, otherwise you're going to leave such a big gap in between the striker and the defence. So it's good to see that Andy's getting forward. He does have an eye for goal. We've seen that you know, against Aberdeen B, a very good link-up move in that game as well. But it's not the first time he can't pick out a shot. He's got an eye for goal, and it's just trying to add more goals to his game. I certainly think he's got that in the locker. But if he's got the freedom to go forward and they have to worry about the defensive responsibilities behind him, then I certainly think it could be an added bonus to his game.
We should really sort of compare players, but he's obviously he's not Scott Brown, and Scott Brown's been a miss since he's left. Obviously, he's taken over that number 8 jersey. You know, Scott would always be with that box to box one, chipping in with goals. I mean, he eventually Andy might get there in terms of the amount of goals he gets in a season. You know, maybe hitting double figures at a point, but he's certainly taken over that. Massive gap that was left when Scott left.
Yeah, I think at the time that Scott left, there was quite a few changes within the squad. Simon Ferry left with Gary Fraser as well. So there was a lot of changes within that midfield, and it was difficult, I think, for them to try and find the balance of, well, this is a player that we've got in Andy, but what is his key strength? And I think he's very good going forward, but I think he does the defensive duties very well within the squad. He shields the defence a lot better than what people maybe think. I think he's certainly one of them players that you notice him more when he's not playing, because you notice the gap that he leaves. But like I said, if he's able to add more goals to his game, and whether you've got a player like Zoe Jordan or whether it be Joe McKee that are just sitting slightly deeper to allow him to go forward, then I think it's a great addition.
He's clearly got the engine to do it as well, because he's always, it doesn't seem to be one of those players that it tires during the game.
No, he's got great stamina. I think he makes your game look easy, which is why, you know, probably some people don't think he's that effective. I think he screens that back four or back three really well, and that gives him that engine to go forward and also go back. And yeah, I think the stamina he's got second to none.
And Kieran Shanks, as I said, was back in the starting lineup and back in amongst the goals as well. And for him to score, which was a peach for a strike, described on the PLA socials, and phenomenal goal for him. And it just shows you that his confidence is building now as well.
Oh, absolutely. Strikers are always, you know, going to score goals based on confidence. And, you know, at the moment, he's flying high. I think he's probably slightly disappointed that he hasn't got as many goals as what he would like. I think he's done a lot of really great work for the team, but probably has to chip in with, you know, probably a few more goals he'd probably be wanting as well. But yeah, fantastic strike on Saturday. And, you know, you could tell that by the smile that was on his face afterwards.
4-9 he's got now this season, just the one in the league. But, you know, 4-9 is still pretty good. And I think, as I said earlier on, it's now Rory's there with him. I think he's going to get a lot more now as well.
I think he'll learn a lot as well, being in the right place at the right time. Like we said, he does a lot of running, but sometimes when he's the player out wide and he plays it back to the player that's either on the left wing or the right wing, there's no one in the box, because that's where Kieran should be. And I think as the weeks go on, the months and throughout the season, I think we'll see more of Kieran being in the box, because he's learned that from Rory and where he should be to be on the end of chances.
And as rightly, we will praise the team for how well they played going forward and creating chances and being attacking. But at the other side of things as well, a clean sheet, really pleased for Stuart McKenzie. He's deserved a clean sheet with his performances, particularly in the last couple of games. So on the defensive side of things, really pleased for Stuart.
Yeah, oh, absolutely. Again, I'll reiterate, I was critical of Stuart when he first came in. But this season, yeah, he's started off fantastically. A lot of great saves, and you know, there's games that we could have been dead and buried before the hour mark. He's kept us in it. So yeah, for him to get a clean sheet, strikers to be scoring, an away win in the cup. Yeah, I don't think you could have really got a much better day on Saturday, to be honest.
And the defenders in front of him obviously got to take some of the plaudits as well. I'm sure they'll put their hands up and say they did well as well. But again, reverting back to that familiar back four. Was obviously the key selection for this game.
Yeah, continuity, players that realise, you know, who they're playing alongside in a familiar formation. Like we said, the managers admit they got it wrong, they reverted back to it, you know, and they got their just rewards, a clean sheet and a win in the cup.
And having an actual right-back, playing at right-back in Danny Slacker, obviously, was a key thing as well, because he, we'll come on to it, was one of the players that was praised after the game as well. So again, it just shows you if we're playing players in the positions that they should be, or we think they should be, it will make enough a difference to not only their individual performances but to the team performance as well.
Yeah, natural players playing in their natural roles. It sounds so easy, but it's not always that in practicality. I think we got the balance absolutely perfect on Saturday. Good to see Danny coming back in as well. I think Caleb's done okay, to be fair. He's a very young defender, learning his trade. He's had moments where he's maybe struggled, but again, you know, that's nice slant on him. He's a young man learning his trade in football. But to have somebody like Danny Strachan come in with the number of games he's got under his belt at a young age as well, you know, it's brilliant that we're able to call upon these players these days, whereas, you know, last season we didn't have that confidence in the players that were, you know, slightly on the fringes to come back in.
Yeah, and that's the thing with Caleb, you know, as you said, he's a young guy, but, you know, if he's playing week in, week out, and it's something that he hasn't been used to, obviously his performances maybe will drop a little bit, and he just needs to come out the final line a little bit. But as we know, as we've seen for Saturday, you know, there'll be players there that'll be ready to jump in and take over.
Yeah, and this is when you're hoping players like Caleb, that they'll look at Danny Strachan playing on Saturday and go, right, that's a level that I need to get up to, and you're willing to show the managers, which I'm sure every player is, no matter who it is, they're willing to show the managers that, you know, they can do a job. That's a level we've got to get up to if we're not playing. You know, and it works out for everyone. The player gets back into contention. The player that's currently playing has got competition, and the managers have got a selection headache for a good reason.
And it just means as well, when we come on to a set of this game, and I'm sure the managers will be thinking about it already, is that who comes in for that game, you know, there's an argument that you didn't make any changes.
Yeah, I mean, obviously you said they made five changes going into the game on Saturday. Your eye was tilted, you didn't change a winning side. If it ain't broke, you know, there's no need to try and fix it. So again, there's questions. Do you bring somebody back in for the sake of it? Do you then allow the two co-managers to start a league game? And these are questions that Ryan and Jordan will need to answer as the week goes on. But it's great now that we're actually having, you know, selection headaches for the right reason. Whereas last season, we didn't hate it. But we've now got a squad that you feel that you can look at the bench, or you can look at the players that aren't included and go, well, there's an argument to say that he should be playing. So yeah, it's so refreshing just now.
So we'll get some of your the thoughts on the game Saturday. Ethan Massey, he says, best I've seen us playing a long time. Shanks and Rory up top is a treat to watch. And it's been a long time since we've had any sort of partnership like that up front. They say that it's been a treat to watch, and a long time since we've seen us play it that way. Rosie Cow, great match, and team was amazing. And just a simple comment like that is what we've been missing for a long time. Just, you know, in terms of attacking football. Something that's good to watch, but the whole team as a whole is playing well.
Yeah, like we said through the last couple of weeks, there will be games where we play really well, and there's also going to be times that things didn't quite go well for us. And that was probably, you know, Spartans games from our game. But it's, you know, I'm sure the players want to get carried away, they want to get too dejected, same with the management team. But it's so refreshing to go onto social media and find, you know, after a win, and all the positive comments that have come in. Yeah, it's fine to be winning games
of football,
really,
is it? It's fine to be winning games of football, but it's also fine to be winning in a manner that we haven't been used to as well, because quite often in the very few games that we did win last season, it was almost a case of, like, we were just scraping it 1-0 or 2-1 or whatever it was, and they really looking as though that we'd maybe deserved any victories. But, you know, a game like Celta, as I've said earlier, dominating the possession, dominating the ball, and that's what you want to see.
Yeah, you can certainly see Ryan and Jordan's style, I think, by now. Also, we've had the pre-season and the cup games. You can certainly see the identity that they've gone with. They want to be attacking. But they're also not scared to change it either, whether it be tactical or personnel. And it's just getting that balance, but they certainly got it right on Saturday.
Neil Thompson says, much more like it. Everybody got stuck in, getting the ball forward much quicker and effectively. Good to see Rory and Kieran teaming up well, which can only be a good thing. Thought Danny Strachan had a great game up at the back and pushing on. We had a very strong bench today, which can only be a good thing. They had a few chances, but in general we were far the better side. Keith Leslie thoroughly deserved it, better from the get-go. Thought Dunne had a great game, burst forward every chance he got and was solid defensively. We created several good chances. McKenzie had a couple of great saves, to be fair. And Rory and Shanks will be a handful for most defences this season. Hopefully they take this confidence into the next game. As we said earlier on, Danny in particular getting quite a lot of praise for Neil and Keith there.
Yeah, rightly so. A really good performance. He's always had that engine to be able to get up and down on that right-hand side. He even does it on the left-hand side as well, to be fair to him. So, yeah, good that he's back in the starting lineup. Obviously, been out for a couple of weeks and just feeding his way back in. But, yeah, really pleased that he was back in the starting lineup on Saturday.
I think it makes a difference to him, because obviously he's been playing sort of as a left-back or a left-wing-back in recent weeks, and then suddenly back onto the right-hand side. I think you maybe argue it's the same position or it's a similar position, but when you're so used to being on the right hand side because you're a right footed player, and then all of a sudden you're playing on the left hand side where you really want to have a left footed player, it will make a difference. And maybe just you're a bit more cautious, whereas if he's playing in his what we regard to be his natural position, the shackles come off, if you'd like.
Same position, but it's similar roles, but I do think they are different. You know, when you're naturally right-footed going up and down, it's very easy. But when you're asked to play on the left-hand side as a natural right-footer, yeah, you've got your left foot that you can use, but your natural things don't flow. You don't feel you're in the right position sometimes. You're constantly watching over your shoulder, like, where's my man gone now? And they are different, but I think it is the performance of Danny's night and day. Yeah, it does a very, very good job at left back. We'll always give a solid shift for the team, but much, much better on the right hand side going forward and defensively as well.
Yeah, and obviously Ryan and Jordan have got the confidence in him to play in that position ahead of Jordan Armstrong, who is a natural left back, and he's been playing ahead of Jordan in the previous weeks, Danny. So he's obviously got they've got the confidence in him to do it. But I think overall, to get a good balance in the side, I think you'd much prefer him to be playing at right back.
I think if you're looking at the balance of the team, you'd always prefer a natural right footer at right back and a natural left footer at left back, and we've got that this season. And it's a bonus to Danny to be able to play at left back when you've got a natural left sided defender in your team. And that just shows you, as you said, that the managers have got the confidence in Danny. But again, I think he's a much better person playing at right back. I think he gives you that confidence going forward. I think he's got the pace to be able to, you know, track back. And I think that combination works well with with Jason Brown on the right-hand side as well. I think they've got a good defensive partnership and they're aware of each other's movements, and it works well.
So we're into the next round of the SPF Ultras Trophy. The last 16 draw takes place on Thursday the 14th at 1 p.m. On their YouTube channel. Just some of the teams it's going through. So you've got one Welsh team left, Total Network Solutions. There's Falkirk, East Fife, Raith Rovers, Arbroath, Montrose, Kelty, Dundee United, East Kilbride, Morton, Airdrie, Queen of the South, Hamilton, Queen's Park, and Rangers beating Alloa have yet to play their tie. Out of those ones, which one would you fancy? Which one would you want to avoid?
Well, there's a few cracking ties that will be in there. I certainly don't want to be going away to Wales. I think that would be a heck of a trip. I would like to avoid Queen's Park as well, to be honest. Dundee United. I think if they were at Ballymore, we'd maybe fancy our chances, but I really don't want to be going back to Tannadice. But other than that, there's not many teams on there that you would fear. I can Falkirk over recent years have been a bit of a bogey side for us, and we've conceded quite a few goals down there. But no, it's a new look team now, a lot of confidence in the squad. But it'd be fine to get a home tie. I think we're due one, but anybody at Ballymore, you know, you'd fancy your chances.
Six Championship side, six League One side left in the draw. We're the only League Two side left. There is one Lowland League side left, and that's East Kilbride. And to be fair, the way they've been winning these ties, I think that's the one to avoid.
Is that the team that beat Elgin? Was it 4-1, 4-2?
Yeah, and then they beat Edinburgh on Saturday. 3-1, 4-1, something like that, and they beat Dunbarton convincingly in the previous round as well. So yeah, I think that's the one to avoid. Yeah, I know Simon Ferry's obviously the assistant manager there. Obviously the nostalgia would be the tie for that one, but I think if you're serious about this competition, you want to try and avoid them.
Yeah, like I said, I don't want to be going across to Wales either, but I think anybody, even a Championship team at Ballymore, you know, you get the timing right of the fixtures as well, and you know, there's different permutations to go with it. But yeah, I certainly think any team at Ballymore, you'd fancy your chances.
Absolutely. So we'll see what the draw entails on Thursday. Before we move on to Saturday's game against Bonnyrigg, just got a quick update in regards Aaron Smith's loan at Buckenhaven Hearts. We've been a little bit slack recent weeks about the loan watch, simply because he's been missing for a few games recently through injury, but he was back in the lineup again on Saturday and managed to bag himself another couple of goals. So I think that takes his total to 4 goals in 7 appearances already, and I think as well we've been told he's got 4 assists in those games as well. So he's really started to come along. He's been playing a lot on the wing. What we've been told as well is he's almost like an old school winger, willing to sort of just take on defenders, take on his man, take on his fullback, get to the byline, get crosses in, which. Is something that I see very often these days, and maybe that's something that we could maybe tap into in the future.
Yeah, old school wingers, they're hard to come by. You know, they're not happening much these days. By all accounts, doing very, very well at the Heritage. Everything that's coming out from the Heritage just now is really positive about Aaron, the way he conducts himself. He's also a very young man, his ability on the field, but how much he's grown as a person off the field as well. And that's exactly what this loan was designed to do, to increase his football ability, but also bring him, the young man he is himself, you know, bring him out a wee bit more within the, you know, in the club, in the dressing room. And, you know, by all accounts so far, it's working, you know, brilliantly to an absolute T, and long may that continue.
Yeah, we should reiterate, he is just 16. And he is just a young man, still a boy, basically. But, you know, as you said, like you said, Martin, the stuff that's coming from the Heritage themselves in regards to his performances on the pitch, his attitude off the pitch in training and things like that is good. It's all good positive signs. And with this loan being until the end of January, I think it is, and with Conor Duffy's injury out for the season, I'm just wondering if there must be a temptation for Ryan and Jordan to look at it in January and go, well, Can we use him, would it be more beneficial for him and the club as in a long run to keep him out on loan for the remainder of the season?
Oh, that's a curveball, is it? For me personally, I would leave him at the Heritage. As we said, he's 16, a very young man. And to get thrown into games and at this level, I think, whilst I don't doubt his football mobility, I think he could certainly do it with the backing of his teammates and Ryan and Jordan. I think leaving him at Heritage for another 6 months, I think the fact that we know that Connor's going to be out for the season, I'm sure they've maybe got plans in place to bring somebody in January, even if it is a loan for 6 months, and that leaves Aaron to be able to stay at the Heritage. Everything's been positive. It's maybe a different conversation had things not been going so well, but you know, he's hit the ground running, doing fantastic stuff at the Heritage. You know, he's integrated himself well into the team as well. to me, I believe in him there, but I can't see the argument that some folk would say maybe to bring him back in January.
The thing is, if you bring him back and you sort of play him off the bench, and you're almost, when you're making substitutions, you're almost expecting that player to maybe turn a game or hit the ground running, and if he's maybe only getting 15 minutes here or 10 minutes there, as you said, it's probably more beneficial if he does stay at the Heritage for the remainder of the season.
I would think so. I think if you're going to be changing the game, you've got to give him that time. Is he going to be getting cameo appearances at the end where he maybe could have gotten 60 minutes playing doing it at the Heritage? Or, you know, is he maybe only going to play four competitive games between January and the end of the season where he might play double that out on loan? And it's getting that balance. And I think he'd have been a couple of years older, that temptation is increased to be able to bring him back. But whilst he's still young and developing, and I would personally leave him with the surrounding that he's got at the Heritage now, because like I said, everything that's coming out from them at the moment is all positive.
Yeah, keep him out with the spotlight at least this season anyway, and then see what happens in the summer. But the Heritage Buckenhaven Hearts are currently ninth in the Northern Region Premier League, and they play Elland United on Saturday, 2 p.m. kickoff at home. So if you maybe want to catch that and then get the second half of the Peterhead game, or want to catch the first half of the Buckenhaven game and then get the Peterhead game, they'll be playing at home as well. So we are obviously playing at home on Saturday to Bonnyrigg Rose. First game between the two sides, much like the Spartans at the beginning of the season. This game, it will obviously be Rory McAllister's first game back as well at home. And we say first game back. He's obviously played at Balmoral since leaving, but when I count the Cove games and or being a Montrose player. So this is Rory's big homecoming. Expectations, I guess, might be high for this one.
Probably, yeah. I think there'll be people that maybe have been to Balmoor all season that would be willing to come back to it. I certainly think there was, rightly so, a hype around the signing. You've seen that on the social media and the night it was announced by the comments and the interaction at the social media for the club that they had. I think it'll be good. Like you said, it's the first time the club's meeting, and I'm sure Rory, as well as the rest of the team, will be wanting to get 3 points on the board at home as well.
Yeah, Saturday was his 350th game for the club, 197 goals he's on, which is still an impressive figure. You know, it's a goal every game and a half, which is, you know, better than a lot of strikers. Particularly, you know, I think his first three seasons he was hitting like 23, 33 and 32 goals, I think, in his first three seasons at the club. So, but his last home goal for Peterhead was almost it was over 4 years ago now in a League Cup tie against Cove, ironically enough, in 2019, a 2-1 win. So he'll be keen to not only put on a good performance, but he'll also be wanting to try and get that goal at home as quickly as possible again.
Yeah, I'm sure he's got his sights set firmly on that 200 number. Three to go. It'd be great if he managed to do it on Saturday, got to 200. Be a fantastic achievement. But, you know, I'm sure Rory would be one of the first things to say it's about getting the 3 points. If he's able to contribute in it, perfect. But, you know, the most important thing on Saturday is we get the 3 points. Whilst I'm sure there is going to be a bit of a fanfare for Rory coming back on the Saturday, we've just got to stay level-headed, a wee bit focused that this is an important game as well to try and get the 3 points in.
And we've already started hyping it up already on our socials, and we'll continue to do it all week. And quite rightly as well, I think this is I said earlier on we should compare players, but it's almost like, and this is a big comparison by the way, this is almost like Cristiano Ronaldo coming back to Man United. It's that kind of feel to it.
I've heard it, Anu. I've heard it all. Yeah, I mean, I get the hype, obviously at a slightly different level, we should say. we've never seen Cristiano Ronaldo do it at Balmoor before, have we? So, I mean, you can take that comparison. But yeah, look, I think Rory coming back, there will be a bit of a fanfare for it. And rightly so, the goals that he gave us, the assists, the work rates, everything that he's given us in the over the years, I think he deserves it. and it would be brilliant if he's able to get a goal on Saturday that helps us along to 3 points.
Yeah, it's not often you get a legendary player leaving your club and then coming back and still being able to do it at that level. That's the thing about him coming back.
Yeah, he's not come back just to pick up a paycheck. He's come back and I'm sure he'll still do a very, very good job. I think some people get so fixated on the age now of football players. You know, as soon as somebody turns 30, oh, that's it, they can't play fit. But, you know, the way the game is nowadays and science and everything, and we've seen that even over the last, you know, 12 months at the Peterhead Football Club, they're using the technology and the science as well to get the best out of players. You know, and having come from Montrose and Cove, Rory will be used to that sort of technology anyway. So I don't think the age that he's at is any hindrance to him. And I'm sure he'll be a great addition for this season.
And we had Derek Lyle still playing well past his 40th exactly. as well. So it can be done. And if Rory keeps himself fit, then why not? So we should talk about our opponents. And Bonnie Regan, as I said, this is the first time we the two sides have met. So there's no way that we can sort of compare and contrast. But they've started off pretty well in their second season in League Two. Having finished 8th last season, they've started off unbeaten, sitting top of the League 2 table on goal difference. 3 wins and 2 draws, so this will be a tough test for us again.
Yeah, I think this will be one of our tougher games that we've had in recent weeks. I think it's a side that are very well structured at the back. They don't often give much away. I think they're well set up. They like to play in the front foot. As you said, 3 wins, 2 draws, they certainly, you know, have got that attacking philosophy, which might play into our hands as well. Coming up to Balmoura, I think they will open up the game a wee bit more than fit teams have done in the past, Stinnesmuir and Spartans. But we need to be concentrating at the back because they are a very good footballing side.
And you look at the 3 wins and the 2 draws, and I don't want to sort of be picking apart any of or belittle any of their victories, but their 3 wins have been against Clyde, Forfar and Elgin, so it's 3 sides out of the bottom 4, and their draws have been at home to Dumbarton and Stranraer. So this might be their first real test away from home as well.
Yeah, possibly. We've said all season that, you know, this is going to be a very tight division. They've been able to put points on the board nice and early. As you said, they finished 8th last season, so they'll be looking at the teams at the bottom half of the table and thinking if they can get wins against them, they're in for a successful season. They've found themselves mid-September top of the table. And I'm sure they've got nae ambition on budging for there anytime soon. Probably will be one of their tougher games coming to Balmoura, I'd have thought. I'd expect us to do a job. I'd expect us to put in a good performance. But, you know, like I said, they're a well set up side. They like to attack, and we're going to have to be switched on.
And as we said earlier on, you wouldn't want to change a winning side, having, you know, won the previous game 2-0 in pretty convincingly fashion as well. That obviously gives the managers a bit of a problem. You've obviously got Jack Brown, who was on the bench, Hamish Ritchie was on the bench, Robert Ward was on the bench. Is there a case for any of those three or any of the others that were on the bench to start again on Saturday?
Yeah, I mean, it all depends, I'd imagine, how they perform in training. It depends on when you look at going away to Annan and playing at home to Bonnie Ring, there'll be different styles that we're coming up against. But, you know, this is the advantage. We've got good players sitting on the bench, and it just shows that if you're not at it every game, or you've got a couple of games where you're off it, you know, you're sitting on the bench and then you're thinking, well, the team's just won. Do we then change it, or do you go with exactly the same team that started? I think they will make changes. I'm not convinced that they're going to go with Ryan and Jordan playing, you know, starting the game again. Whether that means that they'll make 2 or 3 changes to go hand in hand with it, I don't know. But, you know, the fact that we've now got that options and availability to us, you know, is brilliant.
And after a 0-0 and a 1-0 loss in our previous league games at home, it would be nice to see a performance and have a goal to cheer as well.
Yeah, I think so. I think we need it. You, as much as we spoke about last week about getting that rut stopping and, you know, making 3 defeats in a row, I do think we need a home win, because obviously the longer it becomes, you really don't know what to be going into October. I came with still got the Elgin game right at the end of September. You don't want to then, you know, them games to creep by, and then we're into October before you get a win. You want to try and get one. You really want to win your first game. It didn't happen. You go for the second, but now we're at the third attempt, third time lucky maybe, and, you know, hopefully get the win on Saturday.
And the thing is as well, you do not want to be almost opening that gap already. You know, we're 4 points behind Bonnyrigg and the other two sides that are joint top at the minute. So you do not want to be having that gap increased.
The league's just starting to take shape now. We haven't quite played all the teams, but you can start to see it settling down. And as you said, we want to be in that conversation. I certainly think we're good enough to be in the conversation for playoffs and maybe even, you know, title contenders. But this is the sort of games, your home games, your bread and butter. We've already, dropped points at home. You don't want to be dropping much more points as the season goes on. It's a very tight division. Everybody will take points off everyone. And the sooner you can get, more points on the board, the better. And I am looking for a positive, reaction, especially at home.
Okay, joining me now on the Blue Team podcast to get his take on Saturday's game is Bonnyrigg supporter, Cam Wunstall. Carmen, welcome to the Blue Team podcast. How are you doing?
I'm doing good, mate. I'm glad to be here. Excited to talk Peterhead and Bonnyrigg.
It must be exciting times for Bonnyrigg at the last sort of 18 months or so. Obviously promoted season or so ago. Now sort of riding high in League Two.
Yeah. Somehow top of the table. No, definitely, obviously, coming up for the Lowlands, no mean feat. Obviously a tough task, but Robbie and the team managed it. Brilliant achievement. And I think everyone was quite happy with sort of just staying up mid-table. Maybe a few folk thought playoffs were a possibility last season, but I think we just had a snag in the mid-season, which hurt us a little bit. And I don't think anyone expected us to be fighting for it on the final day, but I think when Elgin came to town, I think we knew we were managing to stay up. So, it was a dramatic end to the season where I think maybe the players and the manager wanted to be a little bit more safe than they ended up being. But no, definitely. It's been a crazy first year in the SPFL. And this year, like I said, top of the table so far, so see where that takes us.
Eighth position last season, 42 points, it's obviously a phenomenal achievement. What's the target again for this season?
I think if you were to ask people a few weeks ago, maybe even after quite a tough pre-season, had some tough games, League Cup only got a point against Dumbarton, but good, solid performances against teams like Inverness and stuff. I think it was Dundee and Airdrie, yeah, as well. So I think most folk after those games are thinking maybe just go for mid-table, just anywhere higher than eighth, probably. But again, not really expecting playoffs. So, but it's been a good start to the season. We drew at home first game against Dumbarton and picked up wins away from home, which is really, really crucial. Away from home was tough last season, and it really was. Like some big defeats as well on the road. So the fact that we started so strong away from home this season and the home wins will start coming, it's a great start. And like I said, maybe mid-table would have been the aim a few weeks ago, but it's the hope that kills you. But I think a few folk will be looking for playoffs now.
Have you noticed a difference in the, I wouldn't say the styles, but maybe the quality or the level from the Lowland up to League 2?
Yeah, probably. I mean, it definitely is a big shock to the system. I think that's telling in the results that happened at the start of last season. You've got the Lowland League, and don't get me wrong, we are playing against some great teams, Spartans, who have came up since, and teams like East Kilbride, and there was always teams that would play good football and maybe not get the results, like Cali Braves. But then there was also your Vale of Leavens, Edinburgh Uni, teams that you could go and we would go and get a comfortable win, And then you come up to the league, and we had such a good start, beating Forfar 3-0 at home last year. Was it 2-0, 3-0 at home last season? And it was sort of like party atmosphere. We're thinking, oh my God, we're going to just walk this league, just like we've done the Lowland. Like, this is fantastic. You know what I mean? It's the same level. And then it's when you really get into the nitty-gritty, the games start picking up. You're playing the same opposition so often. They get used to your style of play, which for Bonnyrigg last year especially was quite defensive, quite direct, quite physical. And then teams started maybe beating us in that physicality aspect, maybe starting to play nicer football that would catch out our defence a little bit. And I think Robbie, by the time we got to January, the manager was kind of forced to shake things up. And then credit to him, he did do that. I think some people would say sometimes there wasn't really a plan B at the club, even in the Lowland, because we were just so comfortable. Mm-hmm. There maybe wasn't a plan B at times, and Robbie's had to adapt to that and has made a plan B and a plan C for some occasions, while still not really giving up the way we play. Same sort of style, maybe just tactical tweaks that have really helped us just keep getting more points is what kept us up last season. alongside a few new signings. So, yeah, it's definitely a different level, even if it didn't seem like it in the first few weeks last season. And I think now after a year, we've really adapted and can really give the pro leagues a good shot now.
Did you find that maybe you were still riding that wave of euphoria at the start of the season, and then it was hit a wall pretty quickly?
Yeah, honestly, that kind of was it, because we picked up that great win against Forfar. Picked up maybe, I think, it was 7 out of 9 or 10 out of 12, I think it was, last season, first few games. And everyone was just thinking, my goodness, like, we are strolling this. We were up here with Dumbarton and Stirling. This is quite easy. I think it was Stirling came to Bonnyrigg and maybe took our first points off us. I think it was a 0-0 or a 1-1. Could be wrong. Maybe not. I think Neil Martin maybe won us the game, a 1-0 penalty. And then there was a result after that. We drew, and things just started going wrong. You know, we got knocked out of the Challenge Cup to Livy B, who were playing 16-year-olds, basically. And it just sort of felt like, oof, that's a little sort of bump in the road. And then a few losses came, and all of a sudden, because it's such a tight competitive league, mm-hmm. It really is. It's fantastic. But 1 minute you're sitting high in second, and all of a sudden you're 10th. And I think Bonnyrigg, we sat 10th for a good 3, 4, 5 months. It looked like we were never coming off the foot of the table. And thankfully, we just, January, turned around a little bit and started to drag teams down to our sort of level at that point.
And you've got off to a good start. You're unbeaten in 5. As you said, there's 2 draws at home, but wins against Forfar, Clyde and Elgin again. So I guess that's the kind of teams that you'll be looking to try and get points off of, because you'd expect them to be there or thereabouts round about you at the end of the season again.
Yeah, definitely. 100%. It's about beating the teams around you, really, isn't it? Especially in a competitive league like that. 100%. I think the opening day against Dumbarton, it was a real shame. We just weren't really... We conceded quite a sloppy goal. It's just a misplaced pass. They go through and hit us on the break. And we got... Maybe not lucky. I think we definitely deserved something from the game. But it was quite a late goal from Luke Mahade on his debut, after we got him in from Rafe on a short-term deal. So kind of that was great. So because it was quite a late goal, it was kind of euphoric scenes, like a really good attendance again at NDP. And that sort of put us in a feel-good spirit. Go out and beat Clyde. Tough game against Stranraer, as it always is. Always a tough game against Stranraer. And then, yeah, I mean, far away, Alou Faye getting a goal was fantastic. He's had quite a tough few first 6 months since joining in January from Civil. And, of course, then last week was just unbelievable against... It was last week. We don't begin this week. So against Elgin, 5-1, just absolutely fantastic. A really good performance. And... yeah, I think that's been our big thing, is sometimes not getting lots of goals. I mean, the last time we scored 5, I couldn't even tell you. Definitely, I'd imagine, in the Lowland League. Maybe Vale of Leven 13-0 or something. But, yeah, that's just a really great performance to go out in Elgin, where, again, they had a really tough team to play against last season, and always gave us a tough battle. And we even out there, a team that we were playing on the final day to stay up against. Of course, Albion Rovers sadly went down instead, but... Elgin were sort of our benchmark, and we've went out and beat them 5-1. So it just goes to show how well we've improved over the last few months, with a few new additions in the summer as well.
Has there been much changes to the squad in terms of personnel, and is there anybody we should be watching out for on Saturday?
Yeah, definitely. It has been a good few changes. We've lost a few bodies. A trio of starters went to Trinet in the Lowland. That's Dean Brett, Al Horn and Scott Gray as well. Lost our first choice keeper, who started last season, Mark Weir. Lost our joint top goal scorer, Kevin Smith, to Cowden Beef. So definitely a lot of outgoings. In terms of incomings, Paddy Martin's probably one to watch out for. He did come in January on loan from Falkirk. I think that's kind of been our target players, is sort of people in League One that maybe have struggled just to get game time. So we've took, I mean, Robbie McGill, of course, came from Peterhead, I believe. We had Angus Mailer's joined us from Elgin, admittedly, in our division. Yeah, there's been a few that have joined. Rhys Peggy from Kelty, he's came down a level as well to join us. And Paddy Martin's probably the standout. I mean, he's been outstanding. Last season, joined in January, had 8 clean sheets by the end of the season, which I believe was second or third most in the league, which is just unbelievable. Really a fantastic addition and goal. Obviously, Hibs youth, so good pedigree. So I'd definitely be looking out for him. I think we've had one or two players that unfortunately maybe niggles with injuries. I know Dean Watson's coming back from a long layoff. Jason Darvis, unfortunately, has picked up an injury after a really promising start, so they'll both be absent. But Angus Mailer as well, I'd say he's been really good since joining from Elgin. Right back, centre back, CDM, more often than not in defensive midfield. He's just an absolute warrior, just so combative, so passionate, exactly what you want for your team, basically. So I'd say the two new additions I'd look out for, Angus Mailer and Paddy Martin. And in terms of anyone else, I mean, Lee Curry, for us, like any Peterhead fans aren't familiar, Bonnyrigg, of course, first meeting. Lee Curry's a fantastic playmaker in midfield. Kerry Young and Neil Martinuk at the back, really solid. I'd be shocked if Martinuk doesn't score a penalty against you. I think he scored four in the last three games, so it's likely to happen. We are penalty, Bonnyrigg Rose, that is our sort of thing. Those are the standout players that I'd definitely be keeping an eye on. I think it's tough to say up front because we've had a lot of changes. I think Robbie's maybe still trying to find the best duo up top. We've got about seven strikers in the team just now, so I don't know who'll start on Saturday, to be honest with him. But that's sort of the rundown on the usual starting team.
It is the first meeting between the two sides, as you said, and obviously being new to the league, you had a lot of that last season as well, so it's new teams to play against, new grounds to go and visit. This is going to be another new team and a ground for Bonnyrigg's supporters to visit. Is it still as exciting as it was first time last season?
I mean, definitely. I think it's an incredible rise for Bonnyrigg. I've been following them for about 3 or 4 years now, and so I can imagine the people that are following them before me. I mean, Bonnyrigg Rose are a junior club. Simple as that. Bonnyrigg Rose have came from the junior leagues. People, you can ask people what's your favourite memory. You'd expect them to say staying up last day of last season, winning the Lowland League. A lot of people would talk about junior cups and sort of like junior super leagues. You know what I mean? There's nothing wrong with that. It's part of the history and fabric of the club. But those remnants still remain. I mean, when you guys come down to NDP, you'll see it for yourselves. It's a really old school junior ground, and it's still there's upgrades being made, but it's that sort of level. And the club is doing fantastic work to get up to SPFL standards, but. Yeah, I mean, in terms of visiting new clubs and such, absolutely. We played Clyde in the League Cup last year, and actually beat them in the League Cup last year, despite being a division below. And I think Peterhead's one that folk are excited for, the big bus journey up, you know what I mean? That'll be a good one. That sort of freshness definitely still remains. I think Kelly and Cole fans would say the same, you know. It's just so exciting getting to new grounds, different teams, and sort of building rivalries as well. It's absolutely fantastic to see.
Yeah, that's what it's all about. And because you're coming up, would you expect a good support coming up the road? Because it is a new ground for you.
I'd hope so. Obviously, it's a big distance to go, but Bonnyrigg are a fantastically supported club. Really, people can say it might wear off eventually. People might say it's already wearing off. I don't think it is. I'm not saying we're going to have four figures every single week at NDP, but as far as away support goes, I think anyone else in the league that you'd speak to on your travels this year will tell you that Bonnyrigg had great support, Elgin included. When we played Elgin, I think it was in March, Kerry Young, last-minute winner, our support that day was fantastic for a team like Bonnyrigg, simple as that. And at home support, I think we were the best in the league last season by some distance, and away support, it might not be tallied up, but I'm pretty certain we'd be number one for that as well. It's no disrespect to other teams in the league that are so well-supported too, but it's just, maybe it is a freshness, but Bonnyrigg is a really great club with really great fans. It is a community club. And one thing that will shock you, we always say this, me and my friends at Bonnyrigg, is that considering the proximity to your Hearts and Hibs, just outside of Edinburgh, of course, so many fans, their first club is still Bonnyrigg. Mm. Hearts or Hibs are their second club, and that's so unusual. You wouldn't see that in Glasgow with the big two, and you so rarely see it in Edinburgh with the big two there. So, yeah, in terms of travelling support, hopefully, there'll be a really good one on Saturday.
And there's a lot of clubs and teams in that area as well, so just to get the size of support you get, I guess, is always a bonus.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, there's still Knitting, and there's still Arniston, they'll say Dalkey Thistle sort of coming up a bit in the ranks as well. So many great clubs in Mid Lothian, really fantastic. Even the East Lothian as well is pretty close proximity. But people flock to Bonnyrigg, you know, because it is just such a fantastic community club, a great little ground. And like the people at the club, I can't suppose I've done 2 years as a media officer for them. I can't talk highly enough of the people running the club, like Charlie and Brendan, Marie. Everyone at the club's just fantastic. So it's easy to keep coming back every single week.
Final question then, what's your score prediction going to be for Saturday?
Oh, that's tough. That's very tough. I know you guys have had a little bit of a tough run the last few weeks, which is a shame. I'm going to go confident. I'm going to say 2-1. I think the trip up will be tough for us. We never blow people away up north, let's put it that way. We've played Fraserburgh or Elgin or Forest or whatever in the Cups and playoffs in the league. I'll say 2-1. I think big Rory Mack will get a goal for you if he's fit. And a Neil Martin new penalty, as I've called. And I'll back Lee Curry if he starts as well to get a goal. I'll say that's the way it's going to go.
So that's the way it's going to go. That's the way you're hoping it's going to go. Obviously, I'll be going another way. But Cam, pleasure to have you on here at the Blue Team Podcast. Pleasure to talk to you. I'm sure we'll talk again over the course of the season, because we, as you've rightly said, play each other four times over the course of the season. So it'll be good to talk to you again. You'll get a hat-trick ball at some point as well, I would think. Good to talk to you. We'll speak to you again, but all the best for the rest of the season.
No problem, man. Cheers.
So the whistle goes on this week's episode. We do hope you have enjoyed it. My thanks goes to Cameron Wonstall for joining me to preview the Bonnie Rigg game, and of course to Martin Smith for being here as always. A big thank you to everyone for listening and for your comments and questions. Do keep them coming in, we do appreciate them. Martin and I will be back again next week, so until then, stay safe and we'll see you all again very soon.